This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right. Wasn't that fun? Listen, that's the third time I've heard it, and it gets better every time. And it's kind of funny, like, understanding some of the dynamics here. Like, so Shelley and Robert are entirely different people, so they actually do annoy each other quite a bit. So it is funny, because that song has nothing to do with me. Nothing that I do ever annoys Shelley, ever. Ever. Hey, so we're in a series. We started a series last week called Tough Love. How many of you guys know relationships are difficult? Right? All of them. Every one of them. Like, there's not one that is easy all of the time. Every relationship, every friendship, every relationship with your child, with your parent, with your spouse, with the person you're dating, whatever the case is, like, all of those relationships have difficulties kind of baked into them, right? There are just things that you're going to face that are going to be difficult. So our goal in this series is to learn some things that can help us have tough love, love that is resilient, love that kind of, you know, it bears through, it endures through some of the adversities that will inevitably come in your relationships, because it's gonna come. If it hasn't yet, and this is what's so funny, and we've probably all done this to some degree, the honeymoon phase, right? Like, whatever, and not just for marriages, but in all relationships, like, we're so enamored with people in the beginning. Like, they're interesting, they're intriguing, and we love everything about them until we don't, right? And so at some point, there's gonna be a disagreement, there's gonna be something that you have to work through, and we need tough love to do that. So to help me do this today, I'm bringing up my baby mama.
Oh, Lord.
Literally, right? Yeah. Don't rock the boat, baby mama. I got coffee up here.
Oh, do you? I didn't see that. Sorry.
Yeah, and she's shaking the table. So you're going to get some tough love. I'm just kidding.
Bring it.
No, I'm not good. So anyway, we started last week by talking about honor. And so here's the idea with the Tough Love series. We're going to talk about some principles, some things that we can develop in our relationships that help us have love that is resilient. And so last week we talked about honor, because that is not an easy thing to do. Honoring someone, by definition, is to place value on them. So if you honor somebody, you are saying to them, you have tremendously high value to me. To dishonor somebody is to say you have no value to me, or you are cheap, right?
Yeah.
And so when we honor somebody, we place value on them. And it is not always an easy thing to do, to tell somebody that they have value, because we tend to be reactionary. Anybody else?
Yes.
Right? Like, we tend to respond instead of kind of, you know, patiently thinking about and all of the things that need to happen instead of, we respond. And so when somebody does something to us, we want to respond, and that's not honoring, right? That makes us feel better, but it doesn't necessarily help the relationship.
I love what you said last week about we can disagree with the person and not dishonor the person.
That's so true.
That was so good. I'm thinking about that all week.
And that's every relationship, right? Every relationship. I think even in parenting, I've kind of learned I'm not the best at this, but I'm learning about this, that all of my kids are so different. And I don't see things the way that they see things. And I can disagree with them, but that doesn't mean that I have to dishonor them.
Absolutely.
To disagree with them.
Absolutely.
So that's good. So let's talk about, we're going to talk about, going to have a seat?
Sure.
Let's do it. Hey.
Tough love.
Tough love.
I'm excited.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about today. We're going to go for our next principle. We're actually going to go to what is referred to as the chapter of love. I think that's how you have to say it if you want to do it right. Chapter of love. Anybody know what that is? The chapter of love, the love chapter?
I know.
What is it?
1 Corinthians.
1 Corinthians 13. Have you been to a wedding lately, right? It's the...
They read it every time, and then like a week later, they forgot.
What?
I swear.
Hey, don't be rude.
I'm just saying.
Honor them.
I'm just speaking the truth.
That is true. I mean, we forget a lot of the things we say at our weddings, right?
True.
Like, for richer or poorer.
Yeah, people get excited about the wedding, but they don't get excited about the marriage. That's the problem.
We spend so much money on weddings, and we invest very little in marriages, and that creates a whole host of problems. Okay.
Yeah, it's true.
Shelly's shooting shots. Shots fired. Shots
Let's
fired.
Go. We're talking about tough love today.
Yeah, it is
it's
tough
true.
Love. Okay, so 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. So let me give you kind of some context really quick. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it starts by talking about these things that we would consider very spiritual, right? These are things that are good and noble and spiritual. And then it says, but if you don't have love, all of these things are irrelevant. They're moot points, right? So then it says in chapter 13, verse 4, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. Love is patient, love is kind, It does not envy, it does not boast, and it is not proud.
We could literally just spend just right there.
Yeah,
just,
I mean, we could spend just right a there. Week mm-hmm. talking about just like each of those topics specifically.
True.
So what we're going to do instead is we're going to just focus on the first three words of that entire verse. Like, you guys are going to learn three words of a verse today. We're not going like expansive here. We're going to keep it tight.
And if you were at Power Couples last night, man, you'll remember this because it's only three words.
Yeah. And we have a four-word. We got four letters too. We have a four-word maximum. What was it? Do better.
Do better next time.
Do better next time. Or
do better, you're dead.
Do better, you're dead.
Yeah.
That's good. Actually, that's
actually
not
next time you're dead.
Next time you're dead.
Next time next, do better.
Yes.
And then next time you're dead.
Yeah. Okay.
Those are women option only.
That doesn't seem very patient, does it? Okay.
Does
so
it?
What we're going to talk about today is patience, because I think patience is essential in having a relationship that has the tough love. Like, there's no tough love. There's no resilient love without patience, because patience gives us the ability to kind of get through and navigate through some of those differences and circumstances and difficulties that we're going to face. So we're going to talk about patience in each of the various relationships in our lives. Like, obviously, we're talking about marriages, but not just marriages. I think your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your friends, coworkers, you know, whatever the case may be. So let's start here. What is patience in a relationship? What is patience?
Well, this is just like a Shelley definition. I know you like to do the Greek and stuff because you're cool. And you're like smarter than me.
Sure.
But like, for my own just Webster Shelley definition, patience is putting up and forgiving with the same person for doing the same thing like a squillion times.
What is a squillion?
I don't know.
Out of curiosity.
It's just infinity.
Plus one.
Yeah.
So
that's my definition, for sure.
Over and over and over and
yes,
over.
Yes, it's just like over. The same things over and over and over. That is true patience.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is it?
To me, yeah.
Okay. My definition, actually, I got this from the Greek.
I knew it!
Because you heard it last time. This is our second time around.
I always give him his hard time. He's like, well, the Greek says. I'm like, I speak English.
Barely.
But it is really cool that you like derive from that.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's always cool when you say it.
Okay, let's start here. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. Because if you want to know what I think patience is, now, again, let me set this up. This is not something that I have mastered by any stretch of the imagination. Shelley is further along in this journey than I am. I am a work in progress when it comes to patience. But I believe that patience is a fruit of the Spirit. I believe that it is a work that God wants to do in our hearts through us and then help us to demonstrate that to other people. It says in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience. Do you want to do the song?
You want me to?
Yes.
Yeah.
So how many of you guys grew up in church? You were in church, like, you know, went to VBS when you were a kid, you know, stuff like that. All right. How many of you did not? I did not. So I didn't really grow up in church, you know. We were around it, but we didn't really go to church regularly. So I didn't learn a lot of the Christian songs that you guys learned when you were kids, like Father Abraham.
Had many sons. Anybody know that? Any sons had father. But, you know, you can't teach those kind of stuff when you're, like, an adult because it just looks super weird. Like, I can't take Chris in the front yard and say, hey, march around and sing this song with me.
I mean, did we?
Kids' church, it totally works. But
did we?
Did
Maybe.
We?
I don't know.
Maybe. I don't know.
So she did teach me the songs. We just didn't do all of the movements, I guess, along with it. So one of the songs that you learned was about the fruit of the Spirit.
Yes. A song that I learned, this is how I learned the fruit of the Spirit. It's actually how I learn anything is just through a song. I mean, if you
like,
can't
for
tell.
Example, the books of the Bible.
Oh, yeah. I can rap them all.
Do it. You won't. You won't.
I can also say all of the 50 states in alphabetical order in
well,
less than a minute and make them rhyme.
Really quick. Really quick. Yeah. Do the books of the Bible really quick, and then we'll talk about this.
It really takes a long time.
The first 10 books.
It just goes, books of the Bible. Ready? My kids know this, too, because I taught them. Ready, guys? Books of the Bible. Ready? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges. Okay, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. 66 books. Yeah.
And you got all of them.
Yeah, actually.
Through a song. Okay, yeah. So the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. The song is...
The fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. Fruit of the Spirit's not a coconut. If you want to be a coconut, you might as well hear it. You can't be a fruit of the Spirit because the fruits are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yeah. And it goes on and on. But it's easy to remember.
It is.
Yeah.
All of that to say, patience is a fruit of the Spirit. So this is what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And then it says, against such things there is no law. This is. I think the way that finishes up is it's another way of saying this is the absolute best way to live your life. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. So yeah. To me, patience in a relationship is allowing God to work in you and through you. God to work on some of those intolerances you had, like that, you know what it is? Like when people do things that just irk you and just like, right? And it starts to rise. It's God working in you to help you develop patience so that you don't respond and react. So in fact, the definition of patience in this passage is this: waiting sufficient time before expressing anger. By definition, patience is waiting sufficient time before expressing anger. Now, I think there are a couple of layers to this that I think are really important. The first one is it seems that there is a time in which it's okay to react and respond, yeah. Right? You are
Thank God. Isn't that great? Yeah. He doesn't just want us to keep it together forever. He allows us to, like, snap for a second.
Well, no. I don't think it's a snap. I think it's a progression, right? I think it's there's a point, right?
Yes.
And so it at a certain point, the idea here is you're not a doormat. You don't have to be run over and over. People, you don't have to subject yourself to people taking advantage of you. Like, that's not what we're saying when we're saying be patient. There's a point at which the relationship can change, right? It can look different maybe than it does currently. You can still be patient. You can still love them, but it just changes some things.
Yeah.
But then it also talks about waiting sufficient time, right? And it's like, don't react in the moment. Because, again, I'm not sure. I think maybe personality plays into this.
Oh, yeah.
My tendency is like, I want to react, right? When something doesn't go my way.
You just want to handle it, take charge.
Yes. Yeah.
It's like, hold on, but let's just wait it out. Just wait. Yeah.
And I'm like, the longer you wait, the worse it gets.
And honestly, sometimes that's true. Yeah.
Sometimes
that is true. You just want to like nip it in the bud.
So patience is waiting. It's not reacting. It's kind of giving a buffer. For one, what happens? We disarm the emotion, right? When you wait, you dial down that emotion. You're not like super, super frustrated. Maybe you've had some time to think about why they did what they did, why it made you feel how it made you feel. Yeah. So that time is really important.
And if you've ever been upset and you've had a discussion right then, or you waited till the next day to have the discussion, you know what we're talking about. It's huge. It's a huge difference.
Those right then discussions can turn nuclear.
Quick. Yes, exactly.
At least for us. Maybe you guys are perfect.
Yeah, like, you know what? Let's just talk about this tomorrow after we've slept, have something to eat, maybe have a little cup of coffee, and then talk about it. And usually the next day we're like, doesn't even matter. It actually doesn't matter at all. So
that's a good way maybe to determine mm-hmm. if it's a big deal or if you're just being kind of petty and irritable or whatever
petty?
The case may be.
What?
Petty. Not that anybody in here would be petty, right? So that's what patience is in a relationship. I think you're like just the forgiveness and kind of over and over and being tolerant of that. For me, I think it's like understanding that there's a buffer and we shouldn't respond. And there is a point at which the relationship changes, but give it that time. Give it sufficient time before you go to that extreme. It kind of also, the other part of the definition, it says this. It says, avoiding the premature use of force, which would be not physical force, right, but change. So the premature use of retribution that rises out of improper anger, which is a personal reaction. And I thought that was such a rich definition of what patience is.
You know what I really think patience is too? What's like that? Speaking of just tough love and being patient with people that you love, is even when people go through those emotions and have that, you're still there for them. Like even though like if you love someone, you have seen them at their worst. Yeah. You just have. Like there's people that have never seen me at my worst, but I promise you, Chris and my kids, like they have seen me at my worst.
No.
Have you guys seen the Lego movie? Okay, when they're like, everything is awesome, that's me. That's the world I live in, okay? And there's like this little unicorn Lego that catches on fire for like a split second and then goes back to unicorn and keeps singing the song. That's me. That's me.
That's and me. I feel like I'm more like good cop, bad cop.
Remember, yeah, but.
Like, he goes like just crazy. Anyway.
But not everyone gets to see that, you know? But the people closest to you, they see you at your worst and they love you anyway and they're patient with you through those times.
And I think that's huge because I know for me, again, patience is not a strong suit of mine. It's not something that I come by naturally. So Shelley definitely gives me room to like be frustrated about something and not you know, pile on when I'm already frustrated. So I think that's understanding each other enough to kind of see that.
And it's personality too, like, definitely has to do with personality, because some people just get easily, they're more easily frustrated than others. And I think just giving them those boundaries of like, hey, like, it's okay to feel that way right now. You know, we just don't feel like that all the time, but we can feel like that right now. And just being patient with people's feelings is important too.
I think also, again, a line is like not allowing that to affect other people, other things, other relationships. I think that's important. So what about, next question, why is patience important in a relationship? Why does this even matter?
It matters because it's an everyday thing. Yeah. Like, it's an everyday thing. Like,
more like an every minute thing, every hour thing.
Patience is just one of those things that, like, if you're not willing to have it and to show it in a relationship, the relationship is just not going to last. It's just not going to last. Yeah. Because you have to have it. It's forgiveness. Patience is also forgiveness.
Okay, so how many of you would agree with this statement? We are probably the most impatient group of people who have ever walked the face of the earth.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's probably true, right? But, you know, we refer to the generation, like, the generational stuff kind of gets confusing, but it used to be the microwave generation, and now we're even more demanding than that, because some of y'all didn't grow up with dial-up. Some of y'all have fiber, and you don't even know what dial-up is. Like, so you had to develop a little bit of patience, but we're so impatient. We want everything, and we want it right now, and if we don't get it right now, we become impatient. We respond.
Like, has the internet ever stopped working at your house? It's a great way to tell if you're patient.
That is
another reason why we need patience.
That's very true. And so I think because we tend to be very impatient, just societally and even on an individual level, that kind of has crept into our relationships. I think we're just less tolerant, we're less patient with each other.
Yeah.
We're more quick, and I think maybe it's not one's a cause and one's a correlation, and I don't know which one it is. But you look at, like, social media, for example. It's like the second I disagree with somebody, I unfollow and I block them. I don't have anything to do with them. Yeah. I immediately am able to distance myself from them if there was an opportunity for us to have kind of the impatience or something that we didn't see eye to eye.
Yeah, but it's so good, though, to be patient with people and see where they're coming from. Like, that's a way that we can develop patience for others. It's like, hey, like, I don't really see it like that, but it's such a great opportunity to see it in a different light.
It is. So patience, my point with that was, just because that's the way it is doesn't mean that's the way that it should be, right? Because we live in an impatient society doesn't mean that it justifies our impatience and our willingness or unwillingness to look past each other's differences and faults. In fact, one definition of patience says it's your willingness to show people that you value them and your relationship enough to see beyond their faults. Like, that's what patience, it is a willingness to show them that you care about them enough to look past the thing about them that drives you absolutely bonkers.
Yes.
Like, do y'all have people in your life that there's just a thing or two that they do and you're like, for example, Shelly was talking about last night. She threw me under the bus with all the power couples about how I eat popsicles.
Not anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, but patience. Are you talking about patience?
Yes, I'm talking about patience.
Patience and popsicles. I like that.
I know, it's alliteration.
Alliteration. Good. Goes together. Patience, like when we first got married, the only thing we really had in our fridge was like sweet tea and popsicles.
Because Shelly couldn't cook.
No, we just like went to Taco Bueno every day. What's wrong with that?
A lot. In hindsight, a lot.
In hindsight, I'm like, how did we not die? Probably because we were 18.
Well, also, Shelly. So we would, literally, I'm telling you, like 3 or 4 days a week, our meals consisted of green beans.
A can of green beans.
Because Shelly's a vegetarian.
I was like, you're not good with that? He's like,
where's the meat?
No, you were actually so nice.
Yeah,
I was
being patient.
Yeah.
We were newlyweds. That thing is, anyway.
Like I said, I was 18.
Yeah. So we would do green beans, and then we would rotate. The next day, we would do a plate of chips with cheese on it, and we called it nachos.
Put it in the microwave for like 30 seconds?
It's not really nachos, because it's like shredded cheese that you melt in a microwave on chips that are kind of stale.
Like,
and crusty.
One day, we're going to afford guacamole. It's going to be great.
It's like a long time.
Yeah,
guacamole is expensive.
I know.
Yeah. So why are we talking about that? Oh, yeah,
patience
popsicles.
And popsicles.
Because we had one thing that we did splurge on was popsicles.
Yes, and so Chris, like, I have this thing, I can't stand hearing people chew. Like, it's not the smacking. Like, even if your mouth is closed and I can, like, hear the food in your mouth, I cannot deal with it.
So there's actually, it's a psychological
one
thing.
Out of five people have this
What's
condition.
What's it called?
Anybody else with
What's
me? Like, you just
What's it
can't
called?
Deal
What's the name
it?
Of it?
I can't remember.
You looked this up.
I did look it up.
And it's a thing. Like your brain is triggered.
Sends you over the edge.
When you hear people chewing.
And so I didn't realize I had this problem until every single night Chris was like chomping on popsicles. Not just like one, like 10.
I don't eat one popsicle. I eat a minimum of 5 at a time.
But instead of me telling him how much he was bothering me, I just replaced it with ice cream. Because it's silent.
Which is a problem because it has a lot more sugar in it.
It doesn't matter.
Because you can get those sugar-free popsicles and you don't feel guilty about it.
It helps me to be patient.
And helps me to be fat. Okay.
Yeah, so yeah.
She sings a little better than I do, right? All right, Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, it says this. It says, therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. And what I love about this is then it kind of gives you maybe a way to express what patience looks like. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Bear with each other and forgive each other if you have some differences.
Yeah, have you heard people say, bear with me for one moment? That what they're really saying is, bear with me my whole life. That's what they're really saying because, like, we have to bear with one another because not everything is always great, you know?
As an example,
yeah.
The game's almost over. Bear with me, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were talking about being patient for sure. Like when a woman says, like, hey, I just need 5 more minutes to get ready. That's really like Super Bowl 5 minutes, if you know what I'm talking about. Super
like game
Bowl's
time
tonight.
5 minutes, right? With timeouts, commercial breaks, reviews.
Yeah. And so if I say I need 5 minutes, I'm talking like game time 5 minutes. Like that equals at least 20 minutes.
At least.
And so it's like just be patient. Be patient with one another. Yeah.
Okay. So then it says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Mm-hmm. And so you know what I take away from that? I take away from that, like obviously these are our goals. These are the things that we're trying to aspire to have in our relationships. Not easy. It's tough. But the best way to frame it is just to remember how God feels about you and how God has reacted towards you and how God has responded to you in all of your faults and all of your failures and idiosyncrasies and everything that you've done wrong throughout your entire life, that God over and over and over and over has demonstrated love towards you.
Yes, it just helps you to remember to be patient when you realize what God has done for you. I had a friend call me once, and she called me, and she was like just venting so hard about this friend that she had, who was actually a guy, which is kind of funny, but anyways.
Those are the emotions we elicit.
It wasn't
generally
like a boyfriend, just like a friend, And she was just going off about like, he's this, blah, blah, blah. Like he's driving you nuts. He's getting on my nerves. Ah. And I just let her. And then when she was done, I was like, hey, you know what? I almost said her name.
Don't do that.
She wouldn't care. She would laugh. But I was like, hey, you know what? How you feel about him is how God feels about us every single day. Like, he is just like, oh my gosh, come on, get your stuff together. And I was like, just remember that God extends patience to you every single day, and you're going to have to extend the same patience to him. And she was just like, why did I call you?
You ever get those answers that you didn't really want? Like, you knew it was the right thing, but you didn't really want to hear it?
I'm like, I don't know. You're the one that called me.
Because generally, when we're venting, we don't want change. We're just trying to get stuff up.
We just want to let you know how we feel.
You need people in your life that bring resolve to those things.
Yes, like, fix it.
So what is patience? Why is it important? And then the next kind of, I guess, step in the progression is, how do we do it? How do we demonstrate patience in our relationships? Give me some applicable, if you're initiated, right? Ways to do this.
I mean, for me, showing patience is showing forgiveness, because you have to forgive someone to give them another chance. And I actually was listening to this amazing, amazing message this week about forgiveness, which is also the F word in Christianity, because not a lot of people like that word. But if you say, oh, yeah, I've forgiven that person. But if you can't verbally bless that person, you haven't actually forgiven them. Like,
all right, wait,
bless
wait.
Them.
Back that thing up.
Uh-huh.
What do you mean?
Like blessing someone in their life. Like if you're like, I forgive you, but I can't bless you yet, then I haven't fully forgiven you.
Oh, that hurts.
I have to be able to, like, forgive you, which means I can also bless you. Does that make sense?
Can I be like, the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord see you straight out that door? And don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you.
You can, but like you can say I've forgiven someone, but can you bless them? That's how you know.
Because that would indicate
forgiven them.
Your heart, right?
It's a heart condition,
yeah,
for sure. Like being patient with someone is forgiving someone, and that is totally a heart condition. It's hard to do, especially if you've already been hurt or you've been wounded by people and you have this wall up. It is super hard to move past that. But you can, because patience isn't something that we just have. I mean, we're born sinners. We're not born with patience. That's just kind of how it is. But it is a fruit of the Spirit that God gives to us. And when he gives us his patience, when we give him our heart, it allows us to move forward in relationships and have deeper connections with people.
And I think, kind of like Shelley said, we're not born with patience. I think every one of us are born with different levels of patience, right? Like some of us are
sub-zero.
Somewhere down, right? Like that's kind of where we start. And other people start, you know, they're more moderately or mildly, their temperament is just, you know, a little different. They tend to be a little more patient. And so the idea here is it doesn't matter where you start. The idea is just to be better than you were, right? To allow God to do more in you so that you can get further along than you were. Going back to why this is important, I think one of the things that we kind of failed to mention that I think is really, 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 really important about this is like how we are patient with each other kind of demonstrates to the world who God is, right? Like, again, because we understand God is patient with us, and he is kind and compassionate and forgiving and all of those things. So my patience with you and your patience with me is really a demonstration to the world of the patience of God.
Yeah, and it's really harder, I feel like, to be patient with people that you live with because there's so much more on the table, literally on the table.
Well, and we tend to
like stuff from the mailbox laying on the table.
Literally.
Kids' basketballs and shoes.
Backpacks in the middle of the floor. Have you noticed? Like,
yeah.
It doesn't matter. This is how you walk in a room. Give me something to throw. Like this, I'm walking in the room. Oh, there's a backpack.
No, my thing is like, tell me why your shoes and your underwear, your dirty underwear are laying
on. Not mine,
on,
kids.
Not yours.
Kids. Yeah. I have a basket.
I would slap you.
Whoa!
Patience is out there, and I'd be like, are you kidding me? But like the boys, I'm just like, tell me why your underwear are in the kitchen right now.
On the counter. Why?
How?
I'm just kidding. Maybe it's not that bad.
Yeah.
Or maybe it is. I don't know.
Titus, I just heard you say a name. Yours are on there too.
Okay. Oh. All right. So listen. So how do we demonstrate patience? How do we do this?
We demonstrate patience by, number one, lend a helping hand to the person. Like, if they're in a hurry or you can see them flustered, hey, let me help you. How can I help you? Like, that is a great way to extend patience in a physical way. Like, super simple. Doesn't matter your heart condition at that point. Like, hey, let me help you. I see that you're in a hurry or I see that you're frustrated. Help them.
Right, because probably one of our tendencies would be like people who are frustrated or feeling kind of torqued up like that, like they make us feel frustrated and then we grow impatient with them.
We're scared. Like,
yeah.
Oh
but
God,
instead, it's like if we can find a way to help and serve, I think that would definitely make a big difference.
Yes. And it's anticipating the need. Because when someone is frustrated and they really need a helping hand, the last thing they're going to do is ask you. Yeah. They are not going to ask you to help them do whatever they're doing. So I think it's important that we anticipate people's needs. How do you do that? Look at their face. It says it every time. It's literally like, help me, I'm stressed. Like,
I think anticipating people's needs is such a common sense thing.
It's like, not though.
But it is.
Yeah.
It is. If like you have an ounce of self-awareness and you are not so self-absorbed with what you have going on that you just see the people around you and what they're trying to accomplish, it is not hard to anticipate people's needs.
What?
Shelley, I was talking.
What?
And I really need some help talking to these people and communicating about patience and tough love.
What? You said that,
yeah,
that's why people can't
anticipate
people's needs, because we're in our phone and we're not aware of the people around us. And so it's really hard to show patience when you're not being aware of the world around you.
That's good.
Yeah.
And that's good. What else? What are some other ways we can
right
demonstrate patience?
I think lend a helping hand is definitely a way to extend
anticipating
patience.
Needs.
Anticipating needs, forgiving people, giving them that second chance.
Yeah.
And I think
third chance and fourth chance.
Absolutely. And I think also knowing someone's spiritual relationship with the Lord helps. Because if I have a baby Christian in my life, which is someone that maybe just started coming to church, just gave their life to the Lord, I'm going to be so much more patient with that person because I am actively trying to show them the love of Christ than I'm going to be with someone who has been coming to church forever and they know all the right things to do and they just don't care. Like, I'm going to be definitely less patient with someone like that than I am a new believer, just because it's different.
It's different. I think about patience as a bridge. This is one, I guess, a very helpful illustrative way to understand it. So here we are, right? This is where we currently reside. And we always have expectations of people and a relationship, right? Like every one of us, whether you say it or not, whether you even feel it or not, like we have expectations. We think they're going to act a certain way.
Like when people get married. I mean, we're in a relationship series right now.
Right.
They're like, oh, when I get married, it's going to be like this and like this and like this.
It's going to be so fun. It'll be like a sleepover with my best friend every night. Said no one ever.
Oh,
right?
They say it.
Yeah, they
oh,
say
I've heard it.
It.
Yeah, oh, yeah, for sure.
It's not.
But and marriage is wonderful, but definitely you talk about some unmet expectations. When Chris and I got married, when we were 18, he was going to be on.
Are we bringing this up again?
What do you mean again?
Okay, go ahead.
And
I feel like we talk all the time about not bringing up old stuff, and it just keeps.
Well, I'm just saying unmet expectations, marriage. Like, we got married when we were 18. Chris was like, I'm going to be the king of the world when I'm 30.
Yeah.
But anyways, he was on his way to law school in Baylor. I'm thinking, score. Like, this is going to really work out for me. And so, you know, we get together, whatever, and he gets saved. I'm like, double bonus, because now my mama likes him.
Hey, hang on, time out. But for the record,
yeah,
you were also supposed to be a rock star, so.
You didn't let me move to Nashville, bro.
Go ahead, continue.
Anyways. Anyways, and so he was like, yeah, I'm going to make my first million when I'm 30. I'm like, tell me more. So then, like, I start bringing him to church. He gets saved. And then he's like, I think God's calling me to the ministry. And I'm like.
And why is that? Like, why is that a problem?
No, just like, so you're going to make no money?
There you
That's
go.
Basically
there you go. That's what I was getting at.
And anyways, but God is amazing. And God obviously takes care of everything. But that was an unmet expectation.
That's a huge unmet expectation. In fact, we're still not meeting that expectation.
But you also grow older and you're patient with each other and you realize, oh my gosh, we were so young and we were just dreaming big. And obviously what God has for us is so much better than what we have planned for ourselves.
Yep.
But those unmet expectations are real.
It's a gap, right?
It's a huge
gap.
So
here we are, here are the expectations, and then the gap are the unmet expectations. Like what didn't happen that we thought was going to happen, or what they told us was going to happen. So what we have a moment to do, or what we have a choice to do in that moment, is to make a decision, right? How are we going to respond to those unmet expectations? Are we going to freak out? Are we going to fly off the handle? Are we going to respond in a way that makes us feel better, but is it necessarily better for the relationship? Or are we going to build a bridge from where we're at over those unmet expectations for the ultimate goal of restoring the relationship, having a healthy relationship.
Yeah, and not only restoring the relationship, but to grow the relationship and to keep it going. Because it's so much easier to just set a bridge on fire than it is to build one.
Oh, and it feels so good, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, I mean, sometimes.
No, I'm a pyro. I love watching things burn.
Yeah.
Anybody? Yeah, somebody. So, and like when it comes to some of the Shelly's, like, you know, Shelly tends to be a lot more patient.
When I see a fire, I'm like, there's wind. We haven't had rain in 3 days. Why is there a bonfire going on beside our house?
Like, I have a water hose. It's cool. That's a true story.
Yeah, it's true.
We live on the edge. But anyway, with the burning the bridges, like sometimes it feels good. Not that it's a good thing, but it feels good. And it seems like maybe in the moment that's the right thing to do. But I just don't think that it is. When you consider how God forgives us and how God is patient towards us and how God is kind towards us and loves us. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, it says this. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. And so before we respond and before we set that bridge on fire, just think about your relationship with Jesus and what he's done for you and how he forgives you and he's patient with you. And maybe that'll help be a little more patient with other people and some of those unmet expectations.
Yes, that's good.
That is good. All right, last question. How do we demonstrate patience without enabling unhealthy habits? Go ahead. No.
That's such a good one because so many times, like, you forgive someone, you give them another chance, and then you get these people in your ear that say things like this. You're just enabling them.
Which may be true.
What are you still doing in that relationship?
Which may be true.
Maybe you should just leave.
Which may be true.
Or give up. You know?
Yeah.
And obviously those things could be true, but I think it's, you have to know you, and you have to know the person, and you also have to recognize that the God you serve is going to take care of those things. But in society, we do hear things like that, like we're enabling people, even though we're just helping and forgiving. And so how do you know where that line is, and what is the sufficient amount of time that people need?
Before you respond.
Right.
Before you... So I think, to me, there's kind of a, again, the relationship would determine what this looks like, but I think also there is kind of a progression. I think you're close to it initially, right? And so you're kind of going through all of the emotions of a tight relationship that now has a strain.
Yeah.
But I think as that continues, as they continue to do the thing that they're unhealthily doing, what happens is you start to distance them. You love them, but you are not as close to them. So that you can distance yourself from some of the dysfunction and the toxicity.
Yeah, and you can love someone from a distance.
Yes.
You can love, forgive, and be patient with someone from a distance. They don't necessarily have to be all up in your personal bubble, because it can affect your family. It can affect your kids. And so I think it's super important to, like, as soon as that relationship, that toxic, starts rubbing off on all the relationships around you, it's probably time to draw that line.
To create some. That would be sufficient time. Like, you gave it time. You worked as much and hard and long as you could, but it started to affect other relationships, so I think that would be a good time to start to create a little bit of distance.
Yeah.
Patience isn't necessarily, like, just this unending fountain of joy, right? Like, there are, again, I think there are layers to this. Patience sometimes is, hey, I love you, but I love you so much that I'm going to distance myself from what you while you're going through this thing, and I will be patiently waiting for you when you get through it.
And that is tough love. Tough love says, hey, I know you're going through some stuff, and I'm going to be over here when you're ready.
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're just not ready. They're not ready to hear it. They're not ready to do it. And that is okay. It is okay. But what is important is that you are there for them when they get to the other side, after they build that bridge and come across.
I'll tell you what's not going to help the situation. You telling them the same thing that you've been telling them, and them doing the same thing that they've been doing, and then you telling them this, right? It's a cycle. And when you just kind of, you continue the cycle, it just doesn't bring about any kind of resolve.
You ever have that friend that you're like, you give them the same advice 1,000 times, and you're like, are you even listening? And they're not ready. They're not ready to do anything with it. And so what you can do is like, hey, I've told you everything I need to tell you. I've helped you in every way that I can. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to be over here when you're ready. And I think that is... Number one, being a true friend, not deserting them and saying like, oh, you know, we don't think the same way. I can't be around you. But like, hey, I know you're going through some stuff. You need to rethink it. I'm over here. When you're ready, I'm here.
I mean, part of that to me also is like, you are a friend and you care about them enough that you don't want them to continue on doing the destructive things that they're doing. So like clearly you want better for them. You want to see growth in their life. Mm-hmm. And so because you're your friend or it's somebody you care about, like you're expecting that. And so if there's those unmet expectations, maybe then that's when you create the distance. But you can patiently love them, you can check in on them, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. I just think it's so important to have patience, especially in today's society, because we are all different, and we all see things so differently. And even though we think that's something new, it's actually not. It's been around for a really, really, really long time. Like, even Jesus and his disciples had disagreements. Like, they went through things. I mean, it goes way back. So, number one, know that you're not alone. You're not the only one. But being patient with people is so huge and so important. And if you don't have deep relationships with people, or you're struggling in your marriage, maybe you need to think about, am I being patient with people? Because it is so much easier to kick them out than to deal with it.
It really is. It kind of it's an outgrowth of that. Hey, we can just block you or unfollow you, and I don't have to deal with this anymore.
Yeah.
So I think being patient, kind of working through some of those things, is a great expression of the love of God that he has for us, the
Absolutely.
Forgiveness that he's extended towards
like
us.
Like, when you go to lunch after this and your food is wrong at the restaurant.
That would never happen.
Be patient. Like, or, you know, just things didn't go your way, or maybe the food took longer than you thought, or maybe it's your waiter's first time on the job. Just be patient with them. And that is how you show your waiter or waitress the love of God.
Yep.
That's how you show them.
That's so good. So a little further down in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. So verse 4 is love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, all of those things. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 7, it says this. Speaking of love, it always protects, always trusts, always hopes, And then it says it always perseveres. And I think that is such a necessary component of patience, like just this endurance, this perseverance. I'm not going to give up on you, and I will continue to love you. I will continue to be patient with you. That patience may vary. It may look differently in seasons, but I will just be there. I will be there. I'm going to be steady. I'm going to be more like the tortoise than the hare, right? I may not be fast, and I may not be flashy, but I'm going to be steady, and I will be there, and I'll be a consistent friend or brother or husband or spouse or whatever the case. Maybe.
And that is how you show the love of Christ, truly, to the people around you. It's just being there for them and being patient through their trials, you know. It's important. Tough love.
That is tough love.
It's tough.
That's good. Any closing thoughts on patience, why it's important, what it is, why it matters, how to do it?
I think just do it. Just do more. Like the challenge this week. Like challenge yourself this week to be more patient with the people in your home, at work, your friends around you, and even your waiter or waitress, the people that are at a distance that you don't really know, like, just be patient with those people.
I think probably one of the most helpful things that Shelly and I figured out, and this we didn't figure this one out on our own, we actually went through, like, training because we were on staff at a church, and they wanted everyone to be certified so they could do counseling. You guys do not want counseling from us. It's not.
Well, I mean, I'll do it.
Shelly's great. I'm not. All right, so one of the things that we learned was, so when they do something that I don't like or I do something that she doesn't like, so think about the motive, right? Think about the intent of the heart. So if I do something that Shelly doesn't like, I did not do that to intentionally set her off or frustrate her, because that's not what I want. Y'all know the expression, if mama ain't happy, ain't nobody happy. And boy, that is true. And so I don't want to create that crap storm in my house, right? So I'm not going to intentionally do something to upset Shelly. So if she knows that whatever I did that bothered her, I didn't do it intentionally, man, it helps to be a lot more patient. If she does something that I don't like, I know that she loves me. I know that she wants what's best for our relationship. So even if she did something that I don't like, I'm going to be patient, because it's like, well, I know she didn't do it on purpose, or I know she didn't intentionally. Now, if you are intentionally pushing buttons, knock it off, right? Stop that, right? So yeah. I thought that was really helpful and maybe just a great handle to walk away with when it comes to applying patience to our lives.
Yes,
you want to pray for us?
Sure.
All right. Pray for
Lord, thank you so much for this day and these amazing people, God, that are just coming to church today, God, to hear more about you, to learn more about you, and to grow closer in their relationship with you, Lord. I pray for patience. I pray that you give all of us more patience, Lord, with ourselves and with each other, God, that the same patience you show us, that we would extend to others. And Lord, I thank you so much for this church and these people. I pray that this week you would provide opportunities, God, for us to be more patient, God, and that we would do it, that we would remember these verses, God, that Chris shared with us, and that your word would just help us do these things and empower us. And thank you for the fruit of the Spirit that you have given us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.